Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Putella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about managing acquisition deal flow that you've created. This is a huge question we get constantly. Man, I'm not really interested, or I'm kind of concerned about sending out this 1,500-unit mailer. What's
going to
happen?
Back.
They're going to call me back. They're going to send me their letters. What if I can't buy all their property? We're going to try to address staying organized with this, and we'll try to alleviate some of your concerns, because between the two of us, we completely have it covered, because we failed at it for the last 20 years. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
I would argue that we were successful at it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here, by the way.
We have been tremendously successful at this the last 10 years, which is right about the time that Jill got involved.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay. Michael asks, hello. So an elderly couple didn't like the deed language. It's hilarious. That for and in consideration of the sum of $10 and or other valuable consideration, end of quote. They said that's not the amount they're being paid. Guess I didn't notice that when I emailed them the deed to verify the details were correct. After that spooked them, they didn't trust the cashier's check from my credit union. Oh my gosh. I tried to explain everything to them, but couldn't talk them off the ledge. My notary even offered to drive them to their bank. Yeah. With them to have them verify the cashier's check. That was super nice. Anyway, just curious, how often does this sort of thing happen?
Go ahead, Joe.
I have never really had it happen.
I have, jeez.
Like this, to get to this point where we couldn't solve it, you know, but I have had them wonder what that, because every state does different types of deeds, and the wording will be a little bit different. But one thing is the same. You never put the actual amount on the transaction, on the deed. Just like when you buy a car. When you sell a car, the only thing that's on there might be the odometer reading, and then who's selling the car, remember, on your pink slip that you sign. But you don't put in there how much you sold the car for. You have a totally separate bill of sale, and that's kind of like what we do here. The purchase agreement was kind of a separate bill of sale. So if they need that for their accountant, you know, for taxes, for that purposes, but it doesn't, nothing that's needed on the deed.
How property conveys in this country is dates back to the 1700s during the homesteading time. And when property was conveyed back then, it was conveyed for good and valuable consideration. And very often it wasn't for money. It was for a couple of mules. It was for all kinds of stuff that went on. Or very often people would get married and people would deed them properties as gifts. Mm-hmm. It was a whole different program. And unfortunately or unfortunately, we're stuck with that system now, probably forever.
Right.
Or at least our days. So. Right. Good and valuable consideration is how property is conveyed. In fact, love used to be in that sentence. For love and or good and valuable consideration, like I'm deeding my properties to my kids. That somehow worked its way out. But that $10 in that sentence has just never gone away.
Right.
And it freaks people out.
Right.
They think it's a scam. So, you know, if you look at every deed, it says $10 in it. It's hard to convince people who are skeptical already to just accept that's how it is. The only way I would do it is just show them, you know, here's 500 examples of how it's done on all over the internet. But if you were dealing with an elderly couple, I would turn that over to Jill personally.
Well, and the easy way too is, like, I would take Mr. and Mrs. Smith and let's go look at the deed that you bought the property on. Did you pay $10 when you bought the property? No.
Yeah.
That's how it was conveyed to you. Oh, yeah, you're right. And that's how we're conveying it, continuing on, because that is how it goes. And was there a second part of that?
The question really was, how do you talk people down from this situation and get them back to retrust you?
Explain it.
You know, and I'll tell you, if Jill weren't involved, I would say, you know what, old elderly couple, have a nice day. Because I haven't opened today's mail yet, and there's probably 10 more deals in there. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad you don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly what I would say.
That's not crazy.
I hate to give that kind of advice because we're probably at a different point in our career than, you know, than you are. But I don't know. Is that where we are?
Is that where we are? Well, heck yeah.
Would you make a special phone call and say, hey?
Oh, I would try. I would totally try, but I wouldn't argue with it. I wouldn't fight. If it got to that point, it was just not going to happen. I'm going to walk away. It's not worth my time. It's not worth spending half a day going somewhere else. Okay, I'll get you a money order. Do you want a certain type? Do you want American Express money order? You know, whatever it is. I'm not going to run all over town and try to do that because I have five other deals from all of their neighbors that want to sell to me.
Along these lines, just as you, this is a big picture concept on how to run your business. I have used this sentence a million times. I do not want to make or force you to do anything you don't want to do. This is not we buy and sell property and we buy it cheap and we sell for more. If this is in any way outside of your range of comfort and you just don't, something in your gut's not making it feel right, which, by the way, happens with people who are not internet users. Because if you go on the internet and check us out, we're legit.
Right.
But if you just have to take our word for it, that's hard for anybody.
It's true.
I think, this day and age. So I usually just say, this is clearly not within your risk threshold. So let's just call it. Let's just not even do a transaction. Because if something does go wrong down the line, they're going to blow their tops.
Exactly.
It's not worth it. It's just another deal.
Good answer.
Today's topic, managing the acquisition deal flow that you've created for yourself with these mailers that we've been talking about all week. This is the meat of the show. Jill, give us a little background about why you think people refrain from sending out mailers.
Because then people are going to call. People are going to respond. People are going to act on their offers. And then they're like, now what do I do? Well, and that's why we're here. We help you with that. You know what to do. We talked about it a lot. We talk about it on the show. We talk about it on our member calls. We talk about it in blogs and our content, everything out there. We talk about it. So I think that's funny that this is one of the things that people are, they're a little worried about. And they're worried that they did it right. You know, there is no, you know what? There really is no right or wrong. Whatever you offer is probably appropriate. That's something we don't usually talk about. There's no magic chart that we say you need to take these three numbers divided by 0.2 divided by another 0.5, multiply it by this, and that's the actual thing. It's a scientific thing. It works every time. Could you imagine?
Sign me up for that.
Right? Here's a formula. Plug it in. You're golden. Have fun. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's the same as everything. So,
if you send a mailer out,
yes,
people are going to respond.
Yes,
there's two ways to keep track of it. The first way is on a computer, in some form of CRM. However, you see that, you know. So we've deliberately, Jill and I, not really gotten down to this level of detail on how you should manage your business.
Right.
Because there's other people that are better at CRMs than us. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody better at buying cheap land than us.
Sure.
And how to do that. So get organized. Here's how we do it. We have a spreadsheet with three tabs on the bottom. Acquisitions, engineering, and sales. As the people call back or they send their letters back, it goes into engineering. A line item goes in there and they fill out whoever's answering the phone for us. In your case, it would be you. You would ask several questions.
Acquisitions first.
On acquisitions, right. And it would fill the stuff out. And you're basically asking them questions to see if the deal works. Do the economics work? Do the maps work? Is there access? You're using ParcelEffect and some other tools to find out all that stuff out. If it all works, you move it into engineering because you're in the process of buying it. If it doesn't, you put it in a different spreadsheet for us. It's just a little bit lower that says, we pass. We love the price. We love the person. We love everything about the deal. We do not like the fact that it doesn't have access. Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second part of this, which is Jill's an expert on, is actually the phone conversation and talking to them when they reach out to see, hey, is this legit? Why does this work? Yeah, I do want to sell my property for $5,000, but I have a bunch of questions. Jill's, go ahead. How do you manage that?
Well, there's a couple ways to do it. Like early on in the beginning, I just kept, because we're talking about managing the deal flow. So Stephen just talked about the reporting parts of the property details, which is usually the easiest way, especially when you're new, is just have an Excel file. And like you talked about, there's different tabs at the bottom that you move things through the process once the call comes in, where you document it and you do your due diligence. When you buy it, then you move it to another tab. Now it gets ready to be posted. And then when it's posted and sold, now you move it to another tab. That's kind of that part of it. But the communication part of it, there's many different ways you can do it. You do not need to get a fancy CRM. You do not need to spend the money on that.
No.
Do you know what's funny? What I did in the very, very beginning, and it worked well for me for a pretty long time. I would sit down at my desk and I would open up, kid you not, a Word document. I have a blank Word document, and it was a running document that I would date when I started it. It's like, imagine the old days when you used to have a check register. Remember, you'd have the start date of your check register and the end date of your check register and the check numbers in between. So I would have multiple Word documents, but I used to keep one open like for a month at a time. So all, I don't know if you knew about this.
No.
Did you know about this? Okay.
No, I never knew.
So every day when a call would come in, I would just start typing in that Word document, and then I'd kind of clean it up after the call. But or if you're not that fast or you don't want to hear them clicking, you could write it down and then put it in the Word document after you hang up the phone with that person. But I would put in the day that the call came in, the time that the call came in, their phone number, and all the information about the call. And then I would highlight them different numbers, different colors if I needed, depending on the action that needed to happen. So let's say 10 calls came in today from the offers that we sent out. And so I'd have them all listed in there. Three of them were people that said, get me off your mailer. Fine, they're not highlighted at all. It's like a move-on situation. Two of them were like, let's ready to go. I'm in. Those are in green. And there were then the rest of them were like, I don't like the offer price. I would do this offer price. Those I need to put in, and those I need to talk to you about. I would need to work on with you, and those would be a different color. It was that kind of a deal. And what was nice about it was when people would call back another day, I could quickly do a control F and find the prior conversation with the person because I was still in that month working in that same document. It was so easy for me to go back. And that's managing the communication part of it. Now, I don't know if you wanted me to talk about talking to the sellers, because I think that is a whole different
I want you to.
That's a whole different conversation. Steven's going to take a picture of us, but what he took a picture of is that direction, not this direction first. So anyway.
Here's the good news.
That's good.
Here's the, and this is the meat of the real meat of the
show. I think that was it, the managing it.
Right.
So yeah.
I do want you to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Here's the great news about this. If you send an offer campaign out correctly for rural vacant land, about every 300 to 350 offers that you send out, you're going to buy a property. You're going to get about 10 responses, 10 to 15 responses. Some of them are going to be angry that you mailed it. Some of them are going to be elated that you mailed it and they want their $500 or whatever the numbers are. And some are going to want to renegotiate the price. So when you send out a 1,500 unit mailer, you can almost, if you do it right, use that $300 or 350 unit as a multiple. So you know how many responses you're going to get, and you know how many properties you're going to buy. For urban land, infill lots, the number's closer to 1,000. And for houses, the numbers, depending on your pricing, the numbers are 1,500 to 2,000 units, and you buy a house. And you can gauge the responses, so you're never blindsided. Once in a while, you'll send a mailer out, and like Jill said in an earlier episode, you price it too high, so you get no response. You price it too low, and everybody signs it and sends it back. But those are far and few in between. Oh, did I reverse it?
Yeah, you did. That's okay.
So this is so predictable. Unlike going to a tax sale auction or perusing the MLS or any of that stuff, that you don't know what's going to happen. This is a very predictable outcome that's going to happen. So unless you're sending out 700,000 pieces of mail a month, which some of our members do, You're not going to get inundated, and a spreadsheet's going to be fine. Or if you're using an existing CRM, you're a salesperson, or just continue to use that just in a different way. You don't have to relearn a new piece of software.
No. You got this. Don't be afraid. You know, and then I'm going to wrap it up with this for me. This is what I talked about last weekend with everyone. They know less than you do. You are the expert. They're calling you. They don't talk to many of their investors. People don't really send them letters. That's usually how it goes. So they're calling you saying, I just got your letter. This is the greatest thing on the planet. What's the next steps? And then they're up to you to guide them. And you have a checklist. I know that. I gave it to everybody. So you know what information to collect. So you can do your due diligence and finalize the transaction and purchase a property. This is just about kind of keeping track of it and helping you in your head be ready for it when I come in. Because the last thing you want, I keep notes here for like our shows, but when I'm done with it, I rip it out and throw it away. But the last thing you want is when you're on the phone to someone is to go, hang on, Mrs. Smith, and go to a different page. Be a little more organized, and a spreadsheet will do it. And all kinds of other things like that online. Other programs will do it. That way you can also pull it up remotely, because if you're doing it like us, you might be traveling right now. I mean, look at, there's so many of our members that are doing this remotely from all over the world, whether they're living abroad, working abroad, or just on vacation. And you need to be able to log in and access your notes and do your business. And that's one of the beauties of what we do.
Don't be afraid to fail. Just the first time you do anything, you're not going to do it right. Unless you're Superman. Just don't be afraid to fail. You're probably going to screw some stuff up. Some people might get mad. Who cares? You have to go in this with that attitude. Like, yeah.
It's true.
Jill's whole attitude in life is, whatever happens, I'm going to manage it. My whole attitude is, let's minimize risks. So between the two of us, I filter what hits her, what gets to her, and she's completely ready for it now.
Exactly. What? No, it's perfect. You and whatever does get to me, I figure it out and solve it.
It's filtered, hopefully.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's easier. Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time, where we cover another interesting real estate topic.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition.
Do you know what I was going to say about, we said about, failing and everything? Oh, I was going to add that. Do you know how many times he failed before at women before he found me? Talk about picking the wrong woman.
Yeah, I had to go through 50 or 60 women before.
Thank you.
And the best is always last there.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're doing something really wrong.
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine? Three wives later, you're like, gosh, should have kept the first one.
Oh, gosh. I wonder if that happens.
Actually, I can't
say
names.
I never considered that.
I do know one person that said to me later on, like, gosh, who knew that one was probably the best, and it was way too late to go back.
Were you that one?
It wasn't me.
I hope it's not you.
Well,
I mean, were you the recipient of that?
Oh, no. Here's the thing.
Because there's probably boys men all over the world saying, oh,
that's what I mean.
Jill.
That's what I'm saying. Now, that part is true. Every man before you wishes they would be in your shoes right now. Just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
That's funny.
Listen, rattle off 50 or 60 women.
All the women before you.
No.
Thank
God. Somebody was talking to me and asking my advice about someone, and they did say that, gosh, I kind of wish I would have proposed to that one or something. And like, sorry. Hey, we should cut this off now.
Yeah.
Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes and YouTube. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.